Well, what a blessing to be here this morning. And you know, your theme is servants under the yoke. So in the Old Testament, a yoke was a symbol for oppression. And then the scripture talks about the yoke of the law, which was a good thing for godly Israelites. But the Pharisees had added so many legalistic demands that the law, the yoke of the law, had become a burden. So a new yoke was needed, and Jesus offered a new yoke, which was really a hand-fitted yoke. That's what that's supposed to mean. Now, notice our scripture on the screen, if you would, Matthew chapter 11. I'd like for us to read it if we could. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Stand and read with me out loud, if you would, please. Together now. Come unto me, all ye that... Here Jesus bids the sin-laden to exchange their oppressive yoke for a life-giving yoke. And here's what he said: take my yoke upon you, learn of me, this particular fitted yoke. He said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. I believe this phrase, learn of me, is the Savior's invitation to the needy. And he bids all who will to come and take up this yoke and learn from him and learn about him. Father, have a word in season for every heart. We anticipate your speaking voice, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, here in this text, Jesus invites these yoke bearers to learn from him, to take up his yoke, that is, to link up with Jesus. Now, I know the expression under the yoke has many implications. Of course, it's talking about surrender. Of course, it's talking about submission. But I want to focus on one aspect of this yoke, and that's teachability. Teachability. Now notice Jesus said, learn of me, learn from me. Only the teachable can be taught. And teachable people are moldable, movable, flexible. They are eager to learn. They are humble. And all who take up this yoke and remain under the yoke stay teachable. Now, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So, two things this morning. Learners are humble. Say that out loud. Learners are humble. Second, learners are hungry. But notice first, if you would, yoke bearers are humble. They are humble. Now, God is the humblest person in the entire universe. He's the humblest person because the Lord Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. David, the psalmist, said, when I consider the heavens, I say, what is man that you pay any attention to him at all? God must be the humblest person in the entire universe. And here Jesus said it. He reiterated. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And anybody that's going to come to Jesus in prayer has to share that meek disposition. So to be under the yoke means to be humble. It means to be teachable. The Bible said that God resists the who? Gives grace to the who are the humble, the most unlikely, the most unworthy, and the most undeserving. God resists, he opposes, he stiff arms the proud. The Bible says the proud he knows afar off. A humble God and a proud heart can never come together. And we can never draw near to God with a haughty heart. Somebody said there's no spirit in man. There's no spirit in man more opposed to the spirit of God than the spirit of pride. What does the Lord require of thee, Micah chapter 6, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk how? Humbly with thy God. Jonathan Edwards said, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. And you know, there's really only one difference between a proud man and a humble man. The only difference between a proud man and a humble man is that the humble man is willing to admit he's proud. That's the only difference between the two. The first step toward humility is admitting we're proud. You know, pride always involves a comparison. Pride always involves a comparison. Pride says, I'm cleaner than you. I'm cleaner than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm stronger than you. Pride always involves a comparison. But the humble man has seen himself as God sees him. He has a proper perception of God. He has a proper perception of himself. Andrew Murray said that humility is just having insight into our own insignificance. Humility is having insight into our own insignificance. Now, Augustine, here's what he said. He said a few good things. He said the first of the Christian graces, humility. Second of the Christian graces, humility. Third of the Christian graces, humility. Humility is the virtue of virtues. It's the foundation for all virtue. One man was talking to his friend one day, and he said this. He said, well, whatever faults I might have, at least I'm not proud. And his friend said to him, well, no wonder. You don't have anything to be proud of. And the guy retorted, he said, oh, yeah, I got just as much to be proud of as you do. So what we need is not a mock humility, not a fake humility, not a false humility, but the real thing. And if we're going to be under the yoke, we're going to have to stay humble in order to stay teachable. Now, God has an affinity for the humble because he gives grace to who? To the humble. Humble people are teachable. Isaiah tells us how to get God's attention. And I'll tell you how to get God's undivided attention. Here it is. Listen to this. Isaiah, to this man will I look. To this man will I pay attention. To this man will I listen. To this man will I favor. To him, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. God pays attention to the humble and to the smitten in heart. He takes notice. Isaiah 57:15. Thus saith the high and lofty one. The high and lofty one, the exalted one who inhabits eternity. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place. And then he said, I also dwell with him that is of a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the hearts of the contrite ones. God is high, God is holy, and God is huge. In fact, God is so huge, he fills eternity. The vastness of God, the immensity of God. He dwells in the high and holy place, but he also dwells with him that is of a humble and a contrite spirit. Now listen, before you can learn anything, you've got to be teachable. And I want to say this, before you can be taught, you have to be humble. Somebody said that most Christians want to serve God. Most Christians want to serve God as advisors. And I want to tell you something. God doesn't need to get caught up from us on what's going on down here. That's not what prayer is all about. God doesn't need advice from us. Have any of you ever tried to advise God on how to remedy a situation that you brought up in prayer? Now God's not interested in my advice or yours either. It's not giving God information he already knows. And I want to tell you that those who advise God in prayer make no inquiry into the heart of God. They have no desire or capacity to be taught by Christ. They simply want God to act on their behalf in the way they deem best. Such arrogance makes prayer an impossibility. Only the teachable can be taught. Notice this little quote up here on the screen, if you would. Only the teachable can be taught. Notice this. Read it out loud with me. A learner is someone who is willing to unlearn what he should never have learned in order to learn what he should have learned in the first place. That's what a learner is. It's someone who is willing to unlearn what he never should have learned in order to learn what he should have learned in the first place. Unlearning is just as important as learning. I know you're in Bible college, but some of us need to unlearn some stuff because our spiritual DNA has been programmed with incorrect information. And before we can enroll in the school of prayer with Christ, the falsehoods that we have acquired need to be abandoned. Now, to be under his yoke demands humility. It demands humility. The Holy Spirit will only mentor people who are humble and teachable. And I want to tell you, when you're under the yoke, God guides you in prayer. He burdens your heart. He directs your steps, and he leads you in the paths of righteousness. Listen to this. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. But not only are learners humble, but the implication is learners are hungry. Learners are hungry. Now, pursuit is the evidence of desire. Pursuit is the evidence of desire. When you're home and it's Saturday night at 11 o'clock and you're standing in front of the refrigerator and you open the door and you reach your hand inside, a reach is the proof of desire. A pursuit is the evidence of desire. And I want to tell you something, that people who are under the yoke, they stay hungry. They stay hungry for God. Now, listen, it's not your failures that define you. It's your desires that define you. God's put your past behind him. You ought to put it behind you. Far too many conservative Christians are wallowing in the guilt of the past. Their conscience is condemned. They've never learned the power of the blood that sprinkles from an evil conscience. But let me tell you something. Your desires are more important than your failure, because you can get beyond your failure, but you'll never get beyond your desires. Pursuit is the proof of desire. And your level of spiritual hunger is what defines you. Now, I'm involved in the School of Lifelong Learning because followers of Christ and those who are under the yoke, they never graduate from Christ's School of Learning. It's the School of Lifelong Learning. Now, to be a continual learner is more important than the knowledge you've already acquired. Too many places, all that happens is we rehash the three or four major things that we think are important. That's why churches just play the same old tune over and over and over and over and over again. I want to tell you something. What you believe is important, but I want to tell you something. Having an open heart to God and the Holy Ghost to come and minister your heart and teach you something is more important. I'm just telling you, it's important. Apollos was a tremendous orator in the New Testament. He was a great evangelist. He was well schooled in the doctrines of Christ. He knew all about that, and he was very effective, but he had a hole in his theology. He was totally ignorant of the Holy Spirit. So two business people, Aquila and Priscilla, took Apollos, the great orator, aside and began to school him in the deeper things of God. And listen, Apollos was humble enough to be taught by lay people, one of which was a woman. He was humble enough to be taught the deeper things concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Apollos had things that he needed to learn, how many think there's a possibility there's more for us to learn in the here and now? Now, think about this. Do you search the scriptures to learn, or do you search the scriptures just to reinforce which you already know? Most people are stamped by the time they're 30. And all they can do is parrot what they've heard up to that point. But I'm just here to tell you that the spirit of illumination and enlightenment and revelation, according to Ephesians, is so important. Is the sum total of truth, is the sum total of truth wrapped up in what you and I have experienced? I mean, is that all there is to it? What we've heard, what we know, what we read in the notes in our non-inspired Bibles, the note part I'm talking about, is that all there is to it? Well, people say, well, Brother Harold, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. That's a stupid statement. There's nothing new to God, but buddy, there's a whole lot that would be new to us if we had teachable, humble, childlike hearts. And instead of looking through the lens of tradition, if we could just get open to God, to where God could speak to us and teach us. Most people read the Bible to back up what they already believe. That's why people who get into systematic systems of theology often go off the deep end at some point in time, because they're not open to teaching from God. They want to know what Dr. So-and-so had to say. And it's good to be taught, and it's good to have a grid to look through. But what I'm telling you is we got to remain teachable. And if you're going to be a learner, you have to be teachable. One reason the churches in America are in decline is because of the lack of spiritual hunger. And the reason that I'm hungry is because of the method of preaching that is not stirred up. It's not put salt in the oats. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, we're in dire times. Conservative Christianity is in the death throes. And what we need is a revival of hunger for God, a revival of humility. We need some teachable learners under the yoke. Now, you got to read the Bible with an open heart. I say it again. If God had more for Apollos, do you think God might have something more for you? Churches are dying because of that. Now listen, if your soul is not expanding, it's shrinking. If your soul is not growing, it's dying. And there's an ocean of truth awaiting for those who are willing to learn. But countless congregations study the scriptures only to reinforce their pet doctrines. Can I just say something to you? If you go that route, it will blind you to the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. We need a childlike openness and eagerness and faith. Now, servants who are under the yoke are humble. Servants under the yoke are hungry. And unless you're hungry for more, you're going to end up with less. Unless you're hungry for more, you're going to end up with less. It's not the will of God in the last days for churches to be caught up in a so-called lukewarm age of deadness prior to the return of Jesus. I don't believe that for 1 minute. God told Laodicea to repent, and he's saying the same thing to the churches in the United States. I thought when COVID hit, there would be massive brokenness, massive repentance, massive dealing with sin in the camp, massive repentance and brokenness. It has been the exact opposite. It's been the exact opposite. And the reason it's been the opposite is because of the lack of hunger in the hearts of the servants of God who stand in the sacred, behind the sacred desk. We need some holy fire back in Christianity. I'm telling you, lectures ain't going to convert nobody. I'm telling you, it's the power of God that comes upon a good expositional preaching that we need to turn the tide in the hearts of people. Now, hang on. I'll get back to my sermon here. Let me find out where I'm at here. Well, yeah, all right. Jesus invited us to learn from him and learn about him. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You know, instead of demanding that God conform to my understanding and expectations, wouldn't it be better if I get humble and hungry and teachable for the next part of the journey? Don't ask God to acclimate himself to your ways. You need to come to Jesus and learn from him about his ways and acclimate to his ways. Hunger and humility are two evidences you're under the yoke. Now, teachable people are flexible. They're not rigid on preferences. Here's one for you. My style preferences are not Bible absolutes. Say that out loud. My style preferences are not Bible absolutes. Those of you who missed the first time, try it again. My style preferences are not. Of course we like things a certain way. We come up in a certain culture, a certain genre. That's who we are. How many know that people outside of our culture have different style preferences? And that's quite okay if it's not against the Word of God. This is really good preaching up here this morning. I'm going to have to amen myself. So teachable people are flexible, moldable, movable, humble enough to be taught, and humble enough to sit at Jesus' feet. I personally believe that conservative Christianity has been really good on instruction, but woefully inadequate on implementation. So this morning, I want us to apply what we've talked about. Teachability. I want us to ask three questions of the Lord this morning. Look at these. Three questions. Notice these questions. Number one, Lord, what should I subtract? Lord, what should I delete? Lord, what should I... By the way, if the cow quits giving milk, kill it and make hamburger. And don't just keep doing stuff because you've always been doing stuff. If it's not producing anything, and get humble enough to say, now, Lord, what should I subtract? Listen and implement. Question two. Lord, what should I add? Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Put off. Put on. Lord, what should I add? Listen, implement. Question three. Lord, what should I change? Lord, what would you have me change? And by the way, when you enter different seasons of life, things need to change. Lord, what should I change? Listen and implement. Now, when you ask these three questions, you need to listen for God's directives and fully comply with God's instructions, because adaptability is the key to sustained vitality. It's the key to sustained vitality. And teachability is the key to a fruitful life. Listen to the words of Christ. Come unto me. Come unto me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. A humble God requires humble followers. A humble God requires humble followers. And when we're under the yoke, dear ones, we gladly obey the promptings of the Spirit of God from the Word of God.